quarter time.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You start this off, Phoebe. We've got a...
You have another guest.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Now, I'm absolutely delighted to be sitting here next to Rex Hunt. It is absolutely lovely, Rex, to see you, and what a joy to be catching up with you after quite a few years.
Well, it's lovely, and you've always been lovely to myself and fair, and I said to... Jackie Epstein, was it the same thing as that I speak to some people and I don't with others? So it's just lovely to be here. But let's cut to the chase. I'm only here because Don can't get here.
No, you're not only here for that reason. I don't know why you got the headphones on, all of you, because we're only speaking across the table.
These blokes have just opened up the back of the Nissan Patrol and put a horse's head in the back of the tray. This is Big Louie, is it?
This is our guest who has an extraordinary story to tell, but we're getting over the top of our skis, well, Rex.
I understand that, but I just want to know when I can tune in, because you are right. It's just mainstream radio and mainstream television. It is not worth looking at unless you want to just be a paid professional advertisement watcher.
And Rex,
yes, sir.
You're in here because, not because Don's away, but because you made a statement last week on the social media and Phoebe said, why don't we get Rex in? And I said to you, you should, if people ring you up and ask you, you should always take the call, because then they'll write what they want to write without actually getting it from the horse's mouth. Not that I'm calling you a horse. And the other reason is that every time you come in here, people are very, very interested in what you got to say. And a lot of people listen to what you got to say, and I say this to your face, Rex, you're as silly as a wheel and you're as mad as a hatter, but when you want to be, you're quite lucid and you make quite a lot of sense. How's that for a backhanded compliment?
Well, just fantastic. But I asked the mayor of Brighton, John Locko, and his assistant Domenico Locko, his brother, what does the word woke mean, and why, when I go to a dictionary 30 years ago, where my son was going to Mentone Grammar, and I found it the other day, Matthew Hunt 3B, there's no such word that... So no, what on earth...
Because it's a new buzzword. It means an awakening. An awakening meaning that the whole new world order, the millennials have decided that they will try and be politically correct on every single thing that's going on the planet, and it's an awakening, and they've shortened it to woke. The woke brigade make sure that we toe the line what they think is ethical and moral, and which is bullshit, because no one's going to push back in case you get branded with anything that ends in ist. Chauvinist, sexist, racist... transphobist, all the ists words, and it's a nonsense, and it's actually crueling the whole of the world because we are putting up with it, or some of us are, some of us aren't, and we're pushing back. And the people that push back on it are the people that have nothing to lose. The people who don't push back on it are the people who get called out by their employers and their advertisers, who want you put off air because you are not towing what they consider to be the correct line. That's what woke means.
Well, the destruction of the Channel 9 footy show, which was just an absolute fiscal making exercise, yes. Because you just went down to Maui, some bloke would walk out of the public convenience with his jockstrap just half-mast, hop in the back of the car and go down the main street, and people like Mike Sheehan said, oh, you're setting it all up and making people like silly. You get the lady Wilson, what's her name? Caroline Wilson. What does the word Neanderthal, what does that mean?
Rex, Neanderthal. Shut up, Rex, please.
What does it mean?
It means a dinosaur.
So she calls you a dinosaur, and that's and all of a sudden the footy show's off. They get Rebecca Madden across. They get Hutchie. Admittedly, they had to go to IKEA.
25 years it went
they had on to before. Yeah, but when Hutchie came across, they had to go to IKEA to get a 3-bum couch so he could put one cheek on each and the old
Rex.
Drop shot.
No.
All of a sudden it was off.
Shut up, Rex.
Stop, Rex. No. Okay, let's just jump you back, Rex. So you made headlines over the weekend for your comments about your personal thoughts on how footy commentary, TV commentary is going at the moment. And I wanted to ask you, it was perceived by many on social media that you're perhaps anti-women calling football. Now, I don't believe that to be the case, and I just want you to tell us exactly where you're standing on all of this.
I can tell you that before Eddie Maguire set up the Triple M football in the mid-90s, and Eddie, as Sam and I both know, Eddie is more than a face on the screen. He is a brilliant businessman. And he said, the only way we are going to get into 3AW, who we were just absolutely flying at the time, is to separate Hunt and Newman. And that's what they did. And the thing about it is that I just decided at that stage, before Channel 10 got Robert Walls and before Channel 10 got the lady, you were there the day that I allowed Kelly
Underwood
to call a game at the Telstra Dome. That's how long it was ago. So all these smarties, we got the Sheilas this and we're doing this. And, Rex doesn't like this. I introduced Kelly Underwood as the first female broadcaster on radio, and at the stage we were doing about 28. And in the background was people like... what awards has Mike Sheehan got? MFG and NFG and OBO and ODI. He said, I'm offended by this. Well, Mike would be offended I reckon Mike Sheehan would be offended if he won Tats Lotto.
Don't keep going on about Mike Sheehan. I know why, you've had... I know
why doesn't
had...
he like me? Because it's affecting me.
You idiot. Now, listen, Rex. You know very well that... women have entered into the domain of men's sport, which is the AFL, and because of the diversity and the inclusion and the equity program of what's going on in this enlightened world we live in, and because you're a woman, a female, that doesn't mean to say you haven't got just as big a grasp of being able to describe something. My only problem with the women who describe sport, which is predominantly played by men, is that they try too hard to show that they are knowledgeable when they don't have to, because they are anyhow. That's my only observation, is they try too hard and speak for too long and too often about something to try and convince people they know what they're talking about. They do know what they're talking about. I don't watch the football, so I don't know about Daisy Pearce, and I don't know... I'm told she's very good at what she does.
She's terrific. Yeah. She's okay. Absolutely terrific.
But your point was, Rex, that unless you've been out on the park in AFL football like Wayne Carey has, I presume you're saying,
yes,
aren't you?
Suddenly that Wayne Carey was moved from Friday evenings to Saturday evenings, and Daisy Pearce took over as the main special broadcast
comments person.
When Ben, and down it was, a left half forward flank to the Fiona Burn end, and here comes Sam Newman. My goodness gracious me, Daisy, that was great.
Oh, yeah, Rex, it was just absolutely fantastic. And they moved the ball down beside the chocolatier sign and then into the Nissan sign.
Rex. That's fair enough. Rex. But I tell you now, just let me finish.
No, well, just before
you... Tell you now, if they're going to describe a bloke that's gone in and put his life on the line, I want to know what Carey would say about it instead of Daisy, who might not have been involved in the physical and absolute ruthless... hustle and bustle of league football.
But in Finn, what we've got to be careful of is Phoebe here is employed as we speak, and she can't be seen. She's agreeing with anything and you say because she'll be guilt by association. So
okay. So I'm just going to jump in here.
Be at arm's length from what you're saying, Rex.
It's time to debate.
Yeah. Look, the reality is Daisy Pearce is a fantastic commentator. I think it's I enjoy watching football. I love watching good footy coverage, and I love hearing good footy coverage. Those commentary teams now are better balanced than they ever have been. I think it's fantastic that you've got female callers working alongside the, you know, the fellows. They bring different insight to the commentary, and there's absolutely no way anyone is going into those commentary booths and not being completely and utterly across. They are so prepared because, you know, I'm not going to say this, I'm not speaking specifically about Daisy or about anyone else, but in general, I think if a woman is going into a male commentary team,
yes,
they are going to make sure they are so prepared because they are very aware, yes, that they are likely to be criticised for having not played the game or having not had as much experience, yes, as the other commentators. And you just can't go in unprepared.
Yeah, you can't. Right. I understand what Rex is saying, but I've got a feeling, and I can't, because I just don't watch it, but I've got a feeling Daisy wouldn't say, Rex, yes, that was, I can describe how physical it was because she's been out there, because she hasn't been out there in AFL football. She might have been out there in AFWL football. So she wouldn't try and give the impression she's been out there, but she would just call and make observations like anyone could. And I understand where you're coming from, Rex, and I understand, of course, what you just said, that Fiona. But my point was that, and I'm not saying this about Daisy because I haven't watched her, but if you're not part of it, you tend to speak too much to show people that you do know what you're talking about when it's not necessary.
Well, I'm not going to be a spectator at the moment. I've enjoyed this conversation for 10 or 15 minutes, but as someone who does watch football, I'll admit, Daisy Pearce is a good commentator. She's not excellent. In fact, I wouldn't say any commentator is excellent, given the comments made by general spectators over the past 3 years, that commentary teams and commentary people when commentating the game, radio, TV, is on the decline, and that's especially with TV. Sarah Jones is probably the best anchor in football. It reminds me a lot of Eddie when he was on the show with Dad, trying to control personalities and everything. She does it better than anyone. She's fantastic. I wouldn't like to hear more of Wayne Carey. In fact, I wouldn't like to hear Wayne Carey at all. But that's just on what he is as a person. Daisy Pearce does her job, just like everyone. BT has loved to be hated and hated to be loved. He rocks up every week. He's fantastic. But commentary is on the decline.
But this also shows around the table we all have different opinions, and we all have different commentators that we like and we're interested in, and that is actually a good thing. We're all allowed to have an opinion. I just don't want to get to a point where we are saying women aren't allowed to have a voice in the commentary of male sport, because that's not helpful and it's not. It's just not on, and it's not the world that we live in.
Well, who said that was never the inference?
No, but I'm just trying to,
yeah, understand that.
Because I think on social media that was the takeout from a lot of.
Seriously, taking a notice of what's said on social
media. I think you have to take note of what goes on, but I do make the point that I think a lot of commentary on social media comes from people who don't actually read the original comments or actually read the original story. They read the headlines.
Most comments that come on social media from people who vicariously live their lives through the people they wish to be, and they speak absolute nonsense, and they do it in the cowardly privacy of their own home and just write shit. And why we take any notice of people who comment on social media predominantly. There's some I was on social media last week when I said, first time I've been on it for a long time, when I watched it till 3:30 in the morning, Kyrgios playing Novak Djokovic, and when they went to shake hands, the sports director went to a shot of the numbskulls in the box that follow Kyrgios or Djokovic. All we want to do is see the combatants shake hands, and they miss the most important part of any contest, is the two people who have vied for the title walk towards one another. We don't want to see the idiots in the crowd. And I thought, you should sack those people immediately who are in charge of sport. That's not the essence of sport. They have no emotional involvement in sport. They are just pulling their dicks.
So the person who moved Wayne Carey, who in my 50-something years on and off the field is the most influential, best and dictator-type player in a real tough situation, who has decided that Daisy Pearce will become the number one special comments person on a Friday night, which is the main night of broadcasting, and move the King, Carey, irrespective of his character or his perceived character, his alleged character in some areas, to Saturday night, he should be placed on a pedestal. To my mind, he wouldn't be cleaning out the bins.
He should be in the bin.
So, Rex, the networks and have succumbed to this wokeness. That's why Daisy Pearce is there. Not because she doesn't deserve to be, but they fall over themselves now to be diverse and inclusive, and therefore half the population is women and half the population are men. And Daisy Pearce would get there, I presume, on her ability to watch football and, like with any intelligent person, give a commentary on it. And I understand what you say about Wayne Carey, and I don't know what you not liking him as a person has got to do with his commentary, Max. He's there because he's been probably the greatest player ever, or one of them, and he can give other valuable insights along with Daisy.
You're across a great all player, sports. Why aren't you on TV anymore?
Oh, sorry. What? Max.
You're a great player. Why aren't you on TV anymore?
Well, there's plenty of, not saying I'm a great player, there's plenty of great players. There's hundreds of great players that I've been on the television for 25 years.
Why isn't your father on television anymore?
Yeah.
Because of certain television executives who wear their Levi's three sizes too small,
Jack,
and in the male category squat down to urinate, who think they're doing the right thing and they're ruining their... One more, John. One more.
Settle down,
it is AFLW, isn't it? Is that what it is? And it is exclusive, Fiona, for women?
Yes.
And you can't have a addictomy or a take a dick off of me and become a woman footballer. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, you can.
So why is it only the AFL? Why isn't it the AFLM? That's gotcha.
Males?
Yeah. Can a female play AFL?
Yeah, if they were good enough, they could.
But a male can't play AFL.
Yes, they can.
WNFG.
Yeah, they can. Hansie, what's her name? What's the girl's name?
I think now, Rex.
What's the male who played women's football?
Hannah Mousey.
Thank you, Max. Hannah Mousey.
She never played, did she?
Yeah, she played.
She didn't play in the AFLW.
Oh, she didn't play in the AFLW. No. Oh, hold on. Anyhow.
Sam, I'm becoming a bit too uncomfortable here. I'm really uncomfortable about giving my opinion, because I believe now, listening to Neil Mitchell this morning, that my opinion, and you're not there yet, Fee, but we are totally irrelevant. You know when? Until the shit hits the fan and someone wants something from you.
Thank you, Prince Rainier. What do you talk about?
I don't know.
Rex, have you been doing any fishing lately?
Yeah.
No, I've been preparing my fishing. Let's get back.
Get into the microphone.
Get closer to the mic. David Parkin.
Yes.
15 years ago said, it might have been in the Sporting Globe, that he will live to see a female play AFL football.
Well, maybe.
Well.
Well, if they're good... If a woman is good enough to be selected to play in the AFL, it's not exclusive domain of men. It's just because they happen to be better at this stage. But if a woman can train herself up to be as good as a man and get selected on her merits, the meritocracy, not because it's inclusive or diverse...
It's got nothing to do with merit. It's got to do with... Don't upset anyone.
If a woman
anyone.
Played AFL football, it would be to do with merit.
Well, she I would, reckon it would
no,
be.
No club would
absolutely.
Pick a woman unless she was good enough to do
absolutely.
It.
Do you know for
unless
a fact,
he was good enough.
Do you know for a fact that a woman player, if they are good enough, can actually play AFL? Or are you just saying that?
No. I'm following on from what Rex said, that David Parkin said he has no doubt, didn't he? That a woman would one day would
play
be good
AFL
enough
football.
To... So, and if they are, if they are good enough, so be
so
it.
So are they playing with the lower leagues and the VFL and all that sort of stuff?
No.
If this is in the AFL or the AFLW or the AFLWLNFG, which one is it?
How are we going, Fiona?
I'm not sure where
I'm
we're
lost.
Going.
Phoebe?
But, I'm not sure where we're going.
You said we must get Rex.
Well, I wanted to just no, because I felt that it was. I wanted to ask Rex just to clarify what he was saying on his was a private Facebook post, wasn't it, initially?
John Locko, my dear friend, the mayor of Brighton, who actually he knocked out a star former 300-game, three triple premiership player's brother in 2 minutes on the front of the lawn at the Brighton Bars, which you were involved in. And they cleaned up the mud and the guts and they started to build the thing. What was the question again?
Yeah, I'm going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know where this is going.
I heard the question I lost the answer, Rex.
Just go back to what I said, that when I was doing okay at 3AW with you,
yes,
in the mid-90s,
yes,
that we were the first, or I think you might have said, are you sure about this, Rex, that Kelly called a game with me and the reception was mediocre,
yes,
and cool at best.
Yes.
And within 3 years, when the turmoil was over, that Robert Walls lost his wife and then he got the job with Tim Lane at Channel 10 because,
yes,
Tim wouldn't call with Eddie McGrath at Channel 9.
Yes.
And now Tim Lane at 86 years of age is the chief football caller of 3AW, which is fantastic. And the thing about it is that... Well, he is.
Okay.
And Kelly Underwood became a caller on Channel 10 and she called a game of football at the weekend in Brisbane.
And she's fantastic.
And she is good.
And I do like that point that, as you say, you actually advocated for her to get that opportunity,
yeah,
initially. And I think that's actually an important point to make and probably something that got lost with the commentary over the weekend. That, that you know, you actually are not... saying women don't have a place,
no, it's
calling
only
the game.
An opinion. And an opinion?
Can never be wrong, Rex, because it's an opinion.
It's an opinion.
Only now, facts can be wrong.
We're winding this up because the mafia are already over here.
Actually, I just want to jump in. You two working together. Rex, what was it like working with Sam in the radio booth?
Well, I think it was like the people... Unfortunately, it was a tragic accident with the Concorde, who was sitting down taking some octopus legs with some sea urchin sauce and smothered in some European carp souffle. Suddenly, one moment they were sipping champagne and the next minute they were upside down, and it was like the Abbott and Costello movie. Yeah, but! It was just like, fasten your seatbelt.
Rex, the last...
What was
90
question?
Seconds of what you said. I'm going to replay that to you when we finished. If you can make sense of what you just said then, I'll be staggered. Phoebe's got her eyes rolling around like a pinball machine there, and I'm fucked if I know what you said then.
What was it like?
Excuse me.
It
I'm
wasn't
sorry,
working
I shouldn't
with
have
him.
Sworn.
It was just an absolute pleasure. We just.
What's the Concorde got to do with it, incidentally?
Well, I don't know. I just the Concorde just came into my mind.
Why?
But it was an absolute pleasure you two working together. So tell me, what was it like, Rex? Because the pair of you were quite the team.
Leave the Concorde out.
Yeah. Well,
Rex.
All right. Well, what
leave
I'll
the
be,
weird sushi out of it.
What I'll be, we'll come back after a break on behalf of the new Rex Hunt Nissan Patrol available at your 190, and we'll come back with me being Sam, and then me will throw. To Sam being me. And thank you very much. And the air conveyances over the boundary line and out of bounds. And we'd have Daisy Pierce on here today, but she hasn't been born yet. The ball now spinning back into play. And here's Rex Hunt, the mighty Rex Hunt. The ball is on the Nissan wing.
And the ball is the dumper. Darren Goldspink holds this air conveyance into the atmosphere and bang, slams it onto the rubber knob. And the ball rises into the afternoon sunshine. And Milt Hanna's cranium goes into the afternoon light. And the ball goes down to Longmar. On an each, Lowy. Love it, gets the ball out of the half on, and out comes Yee Blatt. Special comments, Ron Barassi.
Oh, I didn't see it. I dropped me pen. Was on the ground, and Dermot got knocked out. But back to
Rex
Sam Newman. Actually, there's been
said
yes, Rex. He said 13B in the member stand. There's a bloke who's very, very disinterested with this game between Melbourne and Fitzroy. And him and his missus have just taken some scones and very, very light latte. And there seems to be a bit of action because she's removed her. Remember that day where the bloke started to feel the sealer up in the member stand? It was fantastic. And then the next
the
week.
The member of parliament. That was a member of parliament in the members.
That's right.
Started and he was philandering.
With, he was with a wife, but it wasn't don't his own wife.
Who, don't say who the member of parliament
was. Give us his
was.
Initials.
is this still the commentary?
Oh, no. Yeah. And Sam. And my goodness me, the bloke that cleans out the gutters hasn't done a very good job. What is that green substance growing near the gutter there? Ron might be interested in that. With the yes,
it looks like marijuana. And then Rex said to Ron, he said, "Have you ever had any marijuana? Ever smoked any marijuana?" He said, "I've had one joint." Ron, so honest as the day is long, rather than saying, "Shut up, Rex, get on with the football," said, "I've had one marijuana cigarette, maybe two in my life." Well, that every time anything was spoken about in AW, they'd play that on every program.
Incorrect. Leo O'Keefe, I told Leo to roll the tape over the Sydney because Ron Barassi came to Sam and I and said, "I'm leaving 3AW.
Now, if that was on the TV when I was watching football, I'd bloody listen to that.
Oh, it's very I can go to sleep tonight without me mogging on. Whether it be it's a mogging and warm milk. But the thing about it is, Ron said, "I'm going to coach Sydney, otherwise the national competition won't work." And Neil Mitchell the next week had a forum on marijuana. He said, "Ron Barassi, absolute icon of the VFL at that stage. Have you ever indulged in marijuana?" He said, "I've had one marijuana cigarette, maybe two." And I said down the line, I said to Leo O'Keefe on the buttons, who Leo O'Keefe actually taught Sam the buttons. I said, "Did you get that?" He said, "Yep." He said, "And the ball's over the boundary line and out of bounds. And this is just absolutely magnificent. And the final score for Gary Bryce up there. It's a, yeah, Sydney, 8-8-56. Have beaten Hawthorne, 8-7-55. And a marvellous game. And I'm going to get Ron Barassi in the rooms very shortly." Yes, very, very good. So, and we're going to take a break and come back. And during the break, I said to Leo O'Keefe, "Have you got the Ron Barassi grab?" He said, "Please don't do this." I said, "Leo, I'm ordering you." He said, "Well, you, please don't do that." So we're coming back, 8-8-56 Sydney to 8-7-55 Hawthorne. And Ron Barassi, his first win as the Sydney coach after leaving 3AW, Sam. Ron, what have you been doing since the siren sounded?
Oh, no.
"I've had one marijuana cigarette." Well, it went on.
You made Gary Bryce sound like Daisy Pears when you took his voice off.
Galloping Gourmet.
Now, Rex. Now, Phoebe.
Sam.
Was this a good idea?
You know what you can do, and I'll get Max to do it. You can just roll up the tape and throw it in the bin. I'll get Dom and the Mayor of Brighton. We'll go down to your cafe when on the way home, and we're going to do.
Can I assure you, Rex, the last thing we'll be doing is to be rolling the tape up and throwing it in the bin. This will lead most of our podcasts for the next year.
Sam,
we'll just play snippets of this at periodical intervals.
And we can Sam, make a game out of it. Make sense of this.
Yeah, that's right.
Sam, please tell me some of your memories of working with Rex. Because, Rex, you've had your go, Sam.
Really?
What was he like to sit in the commentary box with?
Rex, it started off quietly and then it got a little bit more boisterous and a little bit more verbose. And Rex used to try and outdo himself, not anyone else, himself, every week. And in the end, by the end of the season, it became a crescendo. And the beauty of working with Rex is that I don't think you could get two more diverse or polarised people to commentate on football. He wore his heart in his sleeve. Ron wore his heart. I'm not sure where Ron wore his heart. And I used to just sit back and watch and try and make sense of some of the things he said. But for two decades, Rex was the absolute number one caller in Australia of AFL, VFL football. And he loved it, and he got off on it. And
got off on it.
Really? You got off on it, yeah. You got aroused.
Get back there then.
You got aroused.
I got aroused by it. So well,
being aroused doesn't necessarily mean you get a hard on.
Really?
Being aroused means that you get up and about and you get the adrenaline going, and you used to love it. And you used to change from walking out of the car and getting in behind. And as soon as they turned the microphone on, you became a What's that? What's the two diverse people when you say a and what do you call that?
I'm not going to say Jekyll and Hyde. That's not what you mean.
Yeah, you called it Jekyll and Hyde. That's exactly what you became, a Jekyll and Hyde.
Really,
Rex?
Well, Rex, can I ask? You were so well known for the nicknames that you would give players. Did you sort of work on those and come up with those names before you would get into the commentary box, or were they sometimes just crazy? Well, exactly, that would come to you during the commentary, during the play.
Sometimes, but most of the times they were off the cuff because as soon as you started to plan, it wouldn't come with those. The cranium's head shining in the afternoon light, and it's down towards the half forward line, and here comes Stiffy. Oh, Stiffy was stiff, Johnny John Cock. His hand pass over the cot, and here come the West Coast Eagles. He's a player, this bloke. Here comes the job, and Heady kicks a goal.
And thank you, Rex. And ding a bell when he used to run the 3OW, Stevie Price. Yeah. We used to go in there to do the sport. We were called. Steve Price used to do the afternoon drive show, and he used to get Rex and I to come in at 5:30, and then he would cross to us the first time we came in at 5:30. Then it got to 6:25. We used to get on at 6:05 in the end, and Steve would say, "Now the sport, Rex," and Rex said, "Stephen." And he'd say...
I walked out one night, didn't I?
You walked out. Said, "You've given us 3 minutes to speak about sport. I've been in here for an hour preparing this." And he said, he said, "I'm out." And so Stephen sacked him on air, and then Dinger Bell came down from the top office and said, "Get Rex back on or you're out, Stephen." No, seriously, you couldn't believe it.
Rex, I reckon you call footy... you used to call footy like you were calling a horse race, because... ear, it used to sound a little similar, and I wonder what you were basing your calling style on.
I think we're going to have to wait till the Tobin brothers get the release of my carcass and they take me to the brain bank near the Sydney Harbour, and we'll see actually what's in it, because how on earth would I know?
Yeah.
And with the 200 metres to go, here comes Princess Litigation, your mother. And the fact of the matter is, and here comes the squadron leader. And down the outside, not tonight, darling, I don't think I'm going to be up to it. And climbing right over the top of them is the cranium. And now, before I go, because I'm going to dismiss myself, you just said something about... I'm 74 next birthday, and I said something about a hard-on, which is only a memory for me, Sam, but I wonder whether you, or particularly Max, do you know the difference between a hard-on and a light-on? Do you know the difference, Max, between a hard-on and a light-on?
You can.
No.
You can go to sleep with a light-on.
Yeah, that was a good one, Rex.
Okay.
What is going on? Ah, dear mate.